State. I'm Cassie.
I'm Keegan.
I'm Christina. And boy, do we have to talk about Kate Middleton.
You've been texting us all week. So this is like for you to still be on this high, like on this kick, it must really be living in your brain.
It so is. Because I, you know me, I don't like a mystery. You know what I mean?
Like I don't like an unsolved.
You want to solve it. You want to solve that shit.
I don't even watch unsolved mysteries anymore because it actually frustrates me. Genuinely.
Exactly. I'm like, why don't we know the answer to this? Like we put a man on the moon. Like where's Amelia Earhart? What happened to the Roanoke colony? These are all things.
Where is the Malaysian flight?
Seriously.
Where is that plane? Yeah.
Where is that fucking plane, people?
So I wasn't really interested in it at all until the Photoshop picture.
Same.
Because for me, I was just like, oh, you know, they said she was having surgery. It's none of my business, whatever. Like, and I also, I don't really fucking care, like, about the royals. But then I was like, well, why is that picture so Photoshopped so badly? And it just doesn't make any sense. It's like,
I didn't see the photo. However, so, I've heard.
Yeah. Here's the thing about that photo is on first glance, it looks fine. Like if you're just like in passing, you're scrolling on Instagram and you're not really paying attention to it, it looks totally fine. But when you look closer up on it, and the reason why I looked closer up on it is because like Reuters, I think like the New York Times or some other publications all removed it. And they said they removed it because the photo had been manipulated. And so I'm like, okay, so all of these, they can tell. So all of these major publications are removing this image. So there has to be something wrong with it. So then I opened it. I blew it up. I like looked at
see this photo.
What they were talking about. And it's basically like one of Princess Charlotte's sleeves is like half missing. And then the like picture of Kate herself is like a photo of her from her like Vanity Fair cover or something. A cover she did for a magazine.
What?
So why? You know, like why?
Why?
And also just why post anything? If you're like still under the weather from your surgery or whatever, just like why post a manipulated photo? Why not just not post anything? If you want to post something for Mother's Day, you can
post the kids maybe or
the
whatever.
Kids or a picture from, you know, before, like an actual picture of you. you know, it's just weird.
So weird. Yeah. It's so weird.
And then her tweet just being like, well, you know, as an amateur photographer, I like to play with Photoshop. And so it's like she was in the photography club for college. You know what I mean? Like those Photoshop errors were so egregious. It's just the whole thing is really weird. And then, Keegan, like you were saying, the easiest way to fix this, because people are speculating about the wildest shit
online.
Mean,
it's the internet.
Wild.
It's spun out of control.
Exactly. And so all you would have to do is be like, hey, guys, like, fucking stop it. And we'd all be shamed or whatever. But why hasn't she? Why are we allowed? I mean, people are saying, like DV, divorce, she's got a BBL, like all kinds.
That's my favorite one. That is my favorite one. If Kate Middleton comes out of this with like Cardi B's body,
yes,
I am gonna freak out.
And literally, so I'm just like, all she has to do is just like say hi. Like, why isn't she? Why are we?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It makes it worse.
Strange,
you're right.
Because she could just stand out on the balcony and wave at everyone, and we'd all be like, "Oh, all right." Because truly, it probably is as simple as she knew she was going to undergo surgery. She had a hectic schedule, and she was like, "I just don't want to see anyone for a few months. I just want to take my time and relax and recover."
Well, here's what's fucked up: is that like in October or November of last year, they had announced that they were going to do like a European tour. They were going to go to Italy.
Right. Yes, I remember. Yeah. That's right.
So,
and it was kind of random because they said it was kind of sudden. They were like, oh, she's going to have this surgery. And that was back before Christmas. And then they were like, and she's not going to have any engagements until Easter, which is a long time. You know, well, that's like months and months.
She's in recovery, people. Leave the bitch alone. What?
And they just actually, a few days ago, just removed her from the Trooping the Colors thing in like the summer. Because isn't that in like June or July?
Oh, they I don't know.
No clue they removed what you're even talking about.
From the walk, you know, the balcony waving thing or whatever that they do. Yeah, she's off of that now, too.
It is weird. Mm-hmm. It is weird. And it's weird enough that Buckingham Palace.
What if we're all speculating and it's really, she's really fucking sick and is like dealing with something very dreadful and just doesn't want to be seen.
Well, she might
be. She's lost all her hair or whoever, whatever.
She might be.
And people just can't leave her alone.
I know. Right? I know. And that's what's so sad. I'm just like, I don't know. There's something ever since that Harry and Meghan thing and like really Meghan pulling us behind the curtain. Like, you knew it was toxic. I mean, look what happened to Diana. But getting to really hear how incredibly awful it was just makes me worried for this woman. I don't know. And I think a lot of people are, yes, some people are speculating being shitty. Like I said, the BBL stuff.
Right,
is,
of course.
It's ridiculous. But I think there are some.
Is it ridiculous? But, you guys don't see me for a couple months. I come back. I'm like, hey, bitches.
Just getting my abdominal surgery. That's what I'm going to call like plastic surgery anything. From now on.
quote, abdominal surgery.
Yep.
But the thing of it is that it could have been an abdominal surgery, mm-hmm. but it could have been much more difficult and much more long term.
Right.
Than, you know, Prince or King Philip, what's his name?
Charles.
Prince Philip?
King Charles.
King Charles.
King Charles.
Is it Philip? What's his dad?
Yeah, that's right. Doesn't he have cancer? Like, mm-hmm. I mean, they're being pretty upfront and open, but I mean, they can't hide him away, really.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'm certain if whatever's going on with her, it could be that same thing. And that just.
But why not just be transparent about it? Like if she's really sick, I mean, I understand, but like this is part of being in the public eye. Would they rather have everyone speculating like this? Then just say she like she's really
she
ill,
might.
You know, and they
maybe
don't have
it's
to
giving her a good laugh.
They don't
maybe
have to go into details about
thing.
It. They can just say, you know, she's really ill, like, mm-hmm. you know, and doesn't want to be in the public eye right now. And everybody needs to respect our privacy, period.
Well, yeah. And that's the thing, like her parents and her kids didn't come to visit her in the hospital when she was supposedly there for 14 days.
Right.
Yeah.
The kids they didn't bring the kids around, which was weird.
Yeah. There's just too much weird stuff. Also, you know who else hasn't been seen?
Shelley Miscavige.
Yes, Miscavige. Yeah. Yeah.
That mm-hmm. and Rose Hanbury, the one that's
who's that?
She's supposedly the one that was hooking up with William. She's like the marionette of Chumpkiny.
You guys, you know what it is?
What?
You know what it is? You've seen the movie Face Off, right?
Prince William's now married to Nicolas Cage, eating a peach.
Yes.
Also likely.
Poor Keegan is like, mm-mm.
No, I mean, you're sure. At this point, I'll take any conspiracy theory. Why don't you float that one on TikTok, see how it goes?
Yeah, you know? Yeah, they've swapped faces. Rose and Kate have swapped faces. They're actually in love with the other person's partner. And the only way to get out of it was to swap faces. This is the next movie.
Yeah, yeah. My favorite theory is that we haven't seen Kate because she's actually competing on Masked Singer.
I would love it. That would make me like Kate a lot more. That would make me like her a ton more.
But I think that would be
the whole thing about this is like, when are we going to stop giving a shit about these people? I mean, because that's kind of the thing is just like, why all the secrecy? Like, why all the stuff? Why are they even fucking famous? Just because they were born to a certain family. They don't do anything, you know, just
yeah,
the whole thing is so dumb. It's interesting, and I've definitely dug into it.
And yet, here we are. Here
we are. Of course, you know, because it's part of our popular zeitgeist. But it is just—it's so silly that when you watch The Crown and you see all the lengths, you know, of course that's a dramatized show; it's not real, whatever, whatever. But like, you see the lengths that they go to try and like keep things concealed and like, you know, do all this stuff, and it's so weird and outdated. Who cares? Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, like just. I don't know. I'm like, who cares? Just be honest, be transparent. There's not, it doesn't mean what it used to mean to be a royal. So why does it matter? But that's what people hate Meghan for, is that she's transparent about everything. So
yeah, I keep waiting for Meghan to somehow get blamed for this whole thing.
Oh, she already has. I've seen it in comments on Instagram. People are already finding ways to blame her. And in fact, there was one that was kind of, I mean, it's funny, but it's also like, Jesus Christ, you know, like there was one woman, and it's so blatantly racist as well, where she had tweeted something about how, and she has a little check mark, so I don't know what her thing is in the UK, but she tweeted that.
You can buy check marks now.
Oh, that's
true.
That is true. But she said that Meghan was using her voodoo on the royal family. Oh. And that's why Charles was sick. And whatever happened to Kate is because Meghan put some kind of voodoo curse on them. Which is so...
Jesus Christ. Yes.
Coded.
Voodoo.
Yep.
Coded. Yeah. Okay.
Actually,
and she also blamed Meghan's curse for the deaths of Prince Philip and Queen Elizabeth, as if those motherfuckers weren't like 100 years old.
900 years old, exactly. Like, oh, it's their fault. It's Meghan's curse. Meghan's curse, her new book.
Oh my God.
All right. Okay.
Jesus Christ.
Voodoo. Oh my God. Man.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah, you know, like Queen Elizabeth was sprightly doing 5Ks before Meghan came into the picture.
Meghan came along.
Yep.
Like, come on.
And then there's going to be pictures of her touching them their shoulder in the same spot. Like.
Exactly. Exactly.
Wow.
Oh, Lord. Insane.
Well, I think that we should this week, since we're on the royal kick, I think we need to FMK. People that have played royalty.
Royal.
Okay. Mm. Royal.
I'm glad
FMK.
We're not doing real royals this time.
No, it's too gross.
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fake royals. Okay.
You know what?
What's the guy? Reese. What is his name?
Uh-huh. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yes. He played in the Tudors.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He hot. Played. He is hot. You know what keeps popping up in my mind? I mean, there's so many to choose from, of course. Are we doing the actors or their roles? Okay. I'm going to go with Natalie Portman. She played Anne Boleyn in The Other Boleyn Girl, which is not a historically accurate movie at all. However, I just think she's so beautiful. So I'm going to go with that.
I'm doing Jonathan Rhys-Meyers.
Okay.
I'm doing it. Too
great.
Fucking hot.
Yeah. Way hotter than King Henry deserves.
Yes.
way
hotter.
For
a man that is described as like having basically like syphilis half his life, bloated and like sores all over his body. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think we're not historically accurate in the portrayal.
No, but it's fine. Yeah, don't worry about it. It's supposed to be sexy. But we're keeping it sexy over here.
Keep it sexy.
Yep.
I think I'm going to do Vanessa Kirby, who played Princess Margaret in the very first season of The Crown.
Love it. Okay, great.
This is difficult.
Mm-hmm. She also played Josephine, I guess, in the Napoleon movie that I did not see.
Dude, I saw it. It's not very good. I really wish there's one line in the movie where I laughed so fucking hard. Joaquin Phoenix is like yelling at the English or whatever, some English guy. And he goes, "You think you're so great just because you have boats?" And I just thought it was.
I'm going to say that to every rich person with a yacht.
You think you're so.
Every rich person with a yacht from now on.
You think you're better than me because you have a boat.
They do. People with boats do think they're better than you. Yes. They do.
That's and that made the movie for me. And it really, I was like, I really wish that they had leaned into more camp. And I think it would have been a really fun movie.
Took themselves too seriously.
Chris told me that too. He thought that that you guys had said that it had a little bit of a bit of sarcasm to it. Mm-hmm. So that he kind of thought maybe it was meant to be. I kind of picked some of that up as well from the trailer. I thought that it had like a bit of like not, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Camp. A bit of camp is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, it didn't commit to one tone or the other. So that's why. But I fucking loved that line. It was so funny. So
incredible. Okay, so the Fuck, Marry, Kill. Yes, I'm looking at a picture of Jonathan Rhys-Meyers right now that Cassie is showing the screen. He is hot.
I have his sign. I have his sign pulled up and ready to go.
And then Natalie Portman and Vanessa Kirby. Yeah, we've got some hot white people here.
Truly.
Dark-haired, it's royals. Light-eyed white people. Natalie Portman.
Do you guys want to know? Do you want to know his sign?
Sure. Yeah, you go ahead.
Let me make a decision first. Okay. And then I want to know if I'm wrong.
All right.
I should marry Natalie Portman, who seems very grounded, earthy, intelligent, funny, all of that. But I'm going to marry Vanessa Kirby. Mm-hmm. I think her energy is, I don't know. She's just got the riz. She's very magnetic.
She does. Mm-hmm. She does.
I have a feeling it would be.
I got to know what her sign is.
Volatile. I don't think it will be a good relationship.
How much of that is from Princess Margaret, though? Like, she definitely gives is gonna throw a cocktail glass at you vibes.
Yes.
But I wonder if that's because we saw her throw a cocktail glass in the Crown. You know what I mean? Like, she's great at that. She's amazing at like a tearful kind of mascara running situation.
Breakdown. Yes. Yes. I have a feeling that I would be able to check off my bucket list item, which is to flip a table.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So at least there will be that. I think the sex would be hot.
I agree. You're going to have a lot of makeup sex in that relationship. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amazing.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to fuck Jonathan Rhys-Meyers.
Of course.
Yeah.
He gives real fuckboy vibes.
Yeah.
Like real fuckboy energy coming off of him. It's strong.
Yeah.
Very strong. But hot.
Oh, yeah.
Undeniably hot.
Look, you can't have eyes like that and be a good person. Like, he's like, he's fucked around. He just has. Like, he's got a smolder going on. He can get whatever he wants. You know it. Like, if that guy looked at you at the bar, it's done.
Yeah.
It's over.
Yeah.
Like, that guy looked at me at the bar, I'd be like looking behind me. Like, he's definitely not looking at me. Who's behind me? I know what I'm going to do.
Okay.
I am going to make the right choice. I'm going to make the good decision here. The choice, obviously, is to go with
Natalie.
Yep.
Yeah.
Natalie Portman.
She seems she's got her shit together. Recently single. She's getting divorced.
Mm-hmm. Here's what I'm going to say about Natalie Portman. I am concerned that she might be a Pisces.
I know her sign.
That in a loving way.
Do you?
I do.
I get
in the way that
I
love
Earth
Pisces.
Sign
I just don't.
Energy from her.
I'm going to marry her. I'm going to marry her. I'm going to take the risk and I'm going to marry her anyway. And be damned. And then, it's a tough choice. Vanessa Kirby is hot. But yeah, Jonathan Rhys-Meyers, there are mistakes.
That's okay.
Are going to be made.
That's all right. It's a hookup.
I also know his sign and it's,
does it make sense? Yes or no?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
It makes absolute sense.
Okay.
It's
perfect.
The most sense all of the signs.
Scorpio, isn't he?
No.
I am going to. Can I have a three-way with Vanessa Kirby and Jonathan Rhys-Meyers?
Hot.
Let that get insane. I am going to marry Natalie Portman. I just think it's the most secure, possibly, of these three choices.
Yeah.
It feels like the safest choice. Although, you know, I'd be willing to give Vanessa Kirby a shot too. I feel like I could fix her, you know?
So Keegan, I listened to Natalie Portman as a guest on Smartless. And uh-huh. I immediately mm-hmm. thought of you because she kept having issues with technology. And so, like, you guys could hate technology together.
Absolutely. And when the robots start to take over, we are fucking off to a cabin in the woods. We're like, you'll never see us again. Goodbye.
She lives in Paris.
I feel like I might change my mind.
She lives in Paris, too. She lives in France full time.
Amazing.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I can go see her.
I feel like she has a sense of humor that, like, doesn't come out all the time. But I always think about whenever she did that rap on SNL, you remember, like a million years ago? And so I'm just like, I think that there, even though she comes across as this very serious person, I think that
she can laugh at herself.
She can laugh at herself and doesn't really take herself too seriously in the end.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So yeah,
I need an astrology reveal.
Okay. Well, hold on, because, well, I mean, whatever. Yeah. I'm going to fuck Jonathan Rhys Meyers. I really thought about it because I also think Vanessa Kirby.
I thought you said three way. I was like,
are we allowed to do that? Are we allowed to do that? If we're allowed to do that,
judge says yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well then. Yeah. There we go. We're done. Nobody gets killed this round.
That's right.
So Vanessa Kirby is an Aries. So.
Yep. Oh,
I knew I chose poorly. Mm-hmm.
I knew it as soon as she
said it. She might throw a glass at you. Yeah. She might.
I had a feeling.
Yeah. Natalie Portman is a Gemini.
Oh, interesting.
Ooh. Gemini.
I like this. Mm-hmm. I like this. Mm-hmm. I made the right choice. I feel good about my decision. Good.
Is Jonathan a fire sign too? I get fire sign vibes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What is he? Mm-hmm.
What do you think he is?
Is he Leo?
Of course he is. Looking that good. Yeah, of course he is. Mm-hmm.
He looks that good and he knows
it.
And
does he know he looks that good? Yes, he does. He looks that good. Mm-hmm. Does he turn heads when he walks in the room? Yes, he does.
Yeah, you can't be that hot and be a Leo and like you're devastating. I'm sorry.
Lives are like, ruined. This is why, once again, if he walked in a room and looked at me, I'm looking behind me. Yeah. The fuck are you? Definitely not looking at me. However, the sex will be hot and very spicy.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Yeah. I feel like there's going to be mirrors involved. Mirror on the ceiling.
I feel like sometimes when you meet people, I feel like maybe Leos might be this kind of people. Like sometimes when you meet people, you're like, you're going to push me against the wall.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's going to be
definitely
hot.
Yeah. That guy is for sure doing that. And again, maybe it's because I haven't watched all of the Tudors, but I've seen a few episodes. And again, way sexier than King Henry VIII deserved.
Not even in the same ballpark.
Right.
We're not even talking about the same.
He gives push you up against the wall energy in that show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's very like sexy energy. Wow. Mm-mm-mm. Okay. Well, good one.
All right.
We do have a new patron. So I want to give a big shout out to John Cruz. John, welcome to our patron family. I always get excited when it's a guy because I feel like so much of our listenership is women that I'm always like, yes, we got him. All the
got
period
another
talk,
one.
All the period talk hasn't scared him off yet. Amazing. Welcome, John. Thank you so much.
Oh my gosh. Well, you guys want to take five and then we'll come back with stories?
Yes.
Sounds good.
And we're back. All right, Cass, kick us off with stories.
Okay. So we got this story from our inbox and the subject is 2.5 dates.
She says, awesome.
They say, hi, I've been listening to your podcast since your double date episode with Queen's Podcast, which is very exciting. I'm happy to hear that you enjoyed it. I'm glad you're glad you're here. Welcome.
I need to also have you write in and let us know what you think is happening to Kate Middleton.
No, absolutely. Yeah. Because I'm sure. You know what? We should reach out to Katie and just get her. If she could just send us a voice memo of what she thinks is happening. Because I'm sure Katie, who is one of the hosts of Queen's Podcast, if you haven't listened to them, you definitely should. They're wonderful. I'm sure she has opinions. I'm sure she has strong opinions.
Texting her right now.
Yes.
Amazing. Oh, this is perfect.
If she does send us a response and we get her permission, we'll put that on our Patreon so that you could all hear it.
I love it. You all always make me laugh out loud and I love hearing everyone's stories. My story is actually about
2.5 dates that occurred with the same guy. I meet this guy on Bumble, and although he was my type on paper, blue collar cowboy, etc., turned out to be really boring. And I was on a 2-year long streak of heartbreak and disappointment. Ugh. So I thought I should just give this man a try. He seemed safe, and I knew that I wouldn't get hurt. That's
very relatable.
Great way.
It's very so relatable. At some point, you're just like, whatever, you know, like throw anything against the wall and see if it sticks. Like,
you know, he seems safe. I'm not going to get hurt by this guy. Our first date, he picked me up. We got dinner and went for a walk around campus. Conversation was very slow, but not a bad date by any means. When he went to drop me off at my place, I turned to say goodbye and he launched his head at me and tried to kiss me. I immediately swerved him.
Surprise kiss lunge. That's always good.
Yes.
Yeah.
And ended up grazing my cheek with his lips. I quickly got out of this truck and walked away. Later, I sent him a text saying that I didn't kiss on the first date, but I would like to see him again anyway. Date number two. We drove around the countryside and did end up sharing a small kiss. I was feeling good about the evening as he drove up to drop me off. But as I was getting out of the truck, he said, "I love you."
No.
I froze. Oh, and said, "Okay, see you around." This is where I should have ended it. But I felt bad for him and figured it must have been said like an accident, the same way you accidentally call your teacher mom.
That is so funny. You know,
it's so relatable.
The response of okay to I love you is so much funnier, because like you always hear it's like okay and you're like thank you, but okay, like I love you and thank you, but I love you and okay, see you okay. later is so
see you around. Oh, it's so good. I love that she's like
catch you on the flip flop.
Yeah.
The flip flop. The flippity flop.
Wow.
Date number three, my roommates are all out of town and I decide to invite this man over. I completely ignored the love thing and still found him very boring, but safe option. I had no intention of this date going any further than me making dinner and us drinking some wine. When he arrives, we sit on the couch and I pour some wine, start boiling some water to make spaghetti. We start kissing and all of a sudden he stares at the wall. He looks at me slowly and says, "I just came."
Shut up right now. I wasn't expecting that. I was not expecting that at
what
all.
Would you do?
We're just
what
sitting here. Do? Oh
what
no. I don't know. Get him a paper towel and be like, okay, now you need to go home.
Oh, I didn't know what to say. We had all of our clothes on and it was a very innocent kiss. We had only been a couple sips of wine in and he had only been here for 5 minutes. I quickly got off the couch and pointed him toward the bathroom, all the time freaking out and wondering how I can nicely get this guy out of my apartment.
Yeah, weird.
He comes back out and I try to be nice and ask him if he's okay. He says yes. And that he's never had sex before. I'm taking it back because
baby.
I feel bad now. Sorry.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have said it was
weird. We
were
nowhere close to having sex. And B, I had absolutely no intention of having sex with him that night or any night soon. So she's like not in the headspace at all of like, this is a sexy date. And he's like,
well, I wonder how much experience he has with relationships, period, because he's moving very quickly on everything, like trying to kiss her right away, saying I love you right away. Like, you know,
I'm still on board with the I wanted to believe it's the way in which we called teacher's mom. Yeah. And that same like, I love you. I mean, bye.
Well, you know, sometimes that's instinct. Like I even do that when I'm when I'm on the phone and like I'm ending a phone call or whatever. I do that with friends where I'll be like, okay, love you, you know, and to end the phone call. So I could see that happening. I could absolutely see that happening. Like if I'm talking to somebody, I can see it happening with like a customer service person. I'm calling Spectrum to change my
Delta
service.
Agent. Love you. What?
I mean, never mind. Bye.
You too.
Okay. Okay. See ya.
I quickly said that I want that I was looking for a relationship, and that if he didn't want to stay, that was fine. He responded, "That's all he wanted was a hookup," and I was immediately relieved. He left after only 20 minutes. The water on the stove hadn't even boiled yet.
Oh, more wow. spaghetti for me.
Yeah, I was going to say, actually, best case scenario, you've got wine and spaghetti. Great. Mm-hmm. Sounds like a good night.
Give me a call. I love you.
I love you.
Oh, my God. All right. I got this one off of Reddit. They say they met a guy on Tinder a few years ago. We clicked and decided to meet at a coffee shop that had the best French toast in the city. Mm. So, which sounds amazing. Amazing. Actually, really God,
I love
hungry.
French toast. If I had
actually
to pick,
sign me up, yeah.
If you had to pick between, okay, fuck, marry, kill, French toast, I'm pancakes, in. Waffles. Okay. Where are you at on that?
Oh, so I have an issue with waffles in that, like, you have to eat them very fast, or then they get cold.
Wet bread.
And oh, that's okay. How I feel about French toast, because I think French toast is the wettest of wet bread.
It can be. It can be.
If it's soggy.
Yeah.
I'm marrying waffles. I'm going to fuck
pancakes.
And I'm killing. I'm killing French toast.
Oh, I love French toast. Ugh. I'm going to fuck French toast. It's the sexiest
too.
Of the three.
Me too.
And I'm actually going to marry a waffle.
Bread.
It can be crispy.
It's the I literally don't know how you're eating French toast, Christina. I'm flummoxed.
No, it's if it's done right, it's really good. If it's crispy, like Keegan said, like a brioche French toast, delightful.
Thick piece of bread. Okay, thick. Sorry to derail us, but that was important.
Also, I'm marrying pancakes.
Okay.
So, anyways. So I arrive 5 minutes early because I never want to be late on a first date. He is sitting at a table with a notebook, writing something down, a backpack on the floor beside him. As I approach, saying hi, he stands and asks if he can hug me. Okay, so far so good, asks for consent. But little did I know, things would go horribly, horribly wrong from here. He grabs his notebook and said he was writing a poem.
Christina has experience with this.
Would you
this is my nightmare. I have to go.
Is he a Pisces? This is Pisces behavior.
Would you like to hear it?
I didn't.
I love you. But what the F was I supposed to say? He reads it. It's about how excited he is to meet me. Yikes. Changing the mood, I suggest we go order coffee and French toast. As we're standing in line, he nods to a woman sitting alone, saying, "I saw her on Tinder." Cool, I guess. She was a pretty woman covered in tattoos and hot pink hair. Hell yeah, queen, she rocked it. He then proceeds to tell me, "She's a school teacher. I cannot believe they allow people like that to teach children."
Okey-dokey.
Holy shit.
People like what?
People like
I
that.
Asked.
Yeah.
Tattoos and that hair. Eek. At this point, I should have just left. Little did he know that I've had my hair every color of the rainbow. Under my jeans are three tattoos, and I have my ears stretched. I stuck it out for some reason I'll never understand. We sat back down with our coffees and waited for our food. He then spends, not kidding,
that's why,
over an hour talking about himself, jobs, hobbies, etc., while I eat my food in silence. Tells me he's a history buff. And then proceeds to give me a World War II lesson.
Of course.
For 20
to 30 minutes. Of course. You know, I actually had this question back whenever the internet was going crazy about like how often men think about the Roman Empire. I was like, do men really think about the Roman Empire more than they think about World War II? Because I swear to God, like every man I've ever met at a house party wants to talk to me about World War II. Like
I'm that man.
I get that it's like interesting,
I'm that man.
But I'm just like, of course, as soon as you're like, I'm a history major, I'm like, it's World War II. Like that's it. That's what
it's
you want
coming.
To
yeah.
You spent the whole day with your dad watching the History Channel and it was nothing but World War II documentaries. And now you think
of
you're a
course.
Historian.
Which, by the way, like what the fuck with the History Channel? Isn't it all like
it's ancient Egypt and World War II, and that is
and duck hunters, exactly.
I think they have a show Swamp People. Yeah,
on the History Channel.
Yeah,
what's going on? The Learning Channel The Learning Channel is all like TLC is like 90 Day Fiance.
That's what's wrong with us. That's what's wrong with us.
It's not teachers with pink hair.
The Learning Channel,
right?
And we're learning about somebody who eats the stuffing out of their pillows.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Wow. Okay.
At this point, I am over it. I want out of there so badly. He finally asks, "So what about you? Tell me about yourself." I say, "Well, what do you want to know?" His question, "What kind of panties do you like to wear?"
Shoot me.
You've been on a date for an hour. This is the first question that comes to your mind. You're like, I want to get to know this person.
I had to listen to you mansplain World War II to me. And this is the first question you ask. I hate all of this. I hope that French toast was so good.
Exactly.
I hope it was crispy and not soggy.
I hope his was soggy because he was talking.
That's
and
right.
He let it go. I hope he ate
let it go.
A plate of wet bread.
Ew.
What the actual fuck did I just hear? At this point, I'm screaming internally, looking for an exit, wondering if I ever stocked my purse with pepper spray, thinking of the last time I told my family I loved them.
Oh, man.
Maybe it was just a joke. I reply, thongs. He informed me. He actually, I prefer a bikini cut, and then proceeded to explain why. Not
good
a joke.
You, okay. Good for you. What does that have to do with me?
Is that what you're wearing right now? What you have on right now?
Yeah. What does that have to do with
that's
me?
What you prefer?
I told him I had to get home and go to work later. He walked me to my car and I called my mom on the way home and told her I almost got murdered. I am now engaged to be married in 4 months. And when my fiance and I had our first date, we asked each other our worst date stories. And oh boy, did we laugh at this story.
Yikes.
Nice. So at least it has a happy ending. Oh my God. What kind of panties
Actually, I prefer the bikini cuts.
Well, guess what, buddy?
I like the way they hug my balls.
It doesn't matter. You're not going to see mine. So what you prefer doesn't matter.
Well, I just want to know when I borrow them later.
Oy vey. Okay. This I got from a Ireland subreddit. Like
amazing.
Interesting. On Reddit.
Yes. Okay.
Okay.
It's kind of relevant, so...
I hope so.
Met a guy on Tinder a few years ago. He was really handsome and we got chatting and he seemed genuinely nice and funny and asked me to go on a date and said we would get food. The day comes and he drives an hour to collect me. He's even more handsome in person and the chat flows and I'm thinking, man, he's great. He tells me his friends are having a barbecue and can we stop in for a second? This was my first time meeting him, and I kind of didn't want to meet his friends yet, but I agreed and let him bring me to the barbecue. We get to a lovely house, and it's full to the brim with people. He introduces me to loads of people, and the next thing I know, I'm talking to his ma'am and nanny while he's off drinking with his friends, and I'm told this is his sister's engagement party.
Okay.
And this guy I barely knew decided to bring me as a date. I met his entire family, parents, siblings, grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, and friends the first time I met him. We all went to a local pub where his nanny ended up having a Coyote Ugly moment on the bar to a band singing Zombie by the Cranberries.
Yes! Yes!
His grandma is on the bar.
I love her.
I do too. I'm like, maybe you want to marry into this family just to hang out with Granny, you know? Like,
and they're married.
It's incredible.
Today.
And at the end of the night, this guy, now too drunk to drive me an hour home, tells me he loves me and he's never felt like this about anyone.
Oh, no.
Then proceeds to vomit on my shoes.
Yep.
Yep. Oh, no. And his ex-girlfriend was there and kept calling me a homewrecker.
Whoa! Homewrecker? Jesus Christ.
This guy was 29 and I was around 20. Honestly, weirdest night of my life. I ended up getting a mate to come collect me and deleted Tinder and never spoke to the guy again.
Yep. Holy yep. shit.
Oh my God. What chaos. Do you know what anxiety I would have?
Oh,
like
horrible.
Going on a date and then like going to a huge house party where I don't know anybody and I don't even know my date.
And it turns out to be a family party. Like there have been too many of these.
There?
Yes. Too many.
I love that.
Too many of these stories where you surprise take your date to a family function. You have to stop doing that. You said you were going to take her to a restaurant.
I hate that.
Take her to a restaurant. Like, don't yeah. take, like, you planned what day the date was. You knew it was your sister's engagement party. What
right.
are you doing?
And if she had said no, she didn't want to go, what were you going to do? Not go to your sister's engagement party?
I mean, his ex was there. Maybe that would have worked
yeah.
out. They could hook back up.
Wow. Wow.
But Nanny getting on the bar and singing Zombie by the Cranberries is the best thing I've ever.
I want to be her friend immediately.
Me too. Me too.
Truly.
Oh, man.
Truly. Well, you guys want to take a break and then come back with the tainted love?
Yes.
Sounds good.
Sweet.
And we're back. And I'm so glad that we had funny stories to tell.
Uh-oh.
for our story time. Because what I am going to share with you today is not in any way fun, funny, or anything. It is, in fact, I'm giving a content warning in advance of me saying anything about this story, because this is probably one of the worst stories I've ever
heard. No.
Holy shit. And you told Catherine Knight's story.
Okay. Well, maybe not the worst, but it's up there. It's up there with one of the absolute worst things I've ever told. I mean, it's psychotic.
Okay.
And so I will give a content warning now, and I'm also going to give a secondary content warning later.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Got it.
When we get to the really bad.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to tell the story about Blake Leibel, Blake. He was born and raised in Toronto, Canada. He's the son of a wealthy businessman. He comes from his father, Lorne Leibel. Is Leibel. That's it. Sorry. I don't know why I kept saying that wrong. Leibel. Lorne Leibel is basically considered like the Trump of Canada. He is Mr. Big Shot. He has made a ton of money early in his life. He was actually a Olympic sailor. Like, so he thinks he's better than us.
Mm. Of course.
Because he has a boat.
Yeah.
Because he has a boat. Yeah. He is, but he's very wealthy, but his mom as well is for her own part is also extremely wealthy. She came from money. Her father had money. So that both sides of the family are incredibly wealthy. Mm-hmm. He has an older brother named Cody. So it's Cody and Blake. And their parents end up splitting up a bit like early on in their childhood. Oddly enough, the family entirely splits. So Blake ends up moving with his mom, mm-hmm. and then Cody stays with his dad.
I've seen that before. I've heard of that before. To me, that is so like, what in the parent trap is happening here? Like, where you just split the kids in half? Like, that's odd. So, like,
that's got to be very traumatic.
As a sibling, yeah, I can't imagine.
It has to be. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because not only are you losing a parent, but you're also losing a sibling, you know, like
it would make me think, am I not my dad's favorite? Does my dad love my sibling more than me? And that's why he wanted to take, and then vice versa. I imagine those things have to be going through your head.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think you can't walk away from that scenario and not have some type of traumatic, feeling about your childhood. However, they were both very wealthy. you know, so I mean, they did grow up in with affluent, all the things that money can buy. Mm-hmm. One thing was that I saw in one of the things that I watched, the one kid grew up, Cody lived with his dad in the most expensive neighborhood in Toronto. And then his mom actually lived in the second most.
Oh, wow. In
so, you know, was he even really loved?
Yeah, truly.
So
I used to have these nightmares when I was little that my parents were going to get divorced and that they would force us to choose who we wanted to live with.
I've always had those nightmares. Yeah.
Isn't that?
Mine was an easy nightmare though, because I was like, "Mom."
Same. I mean, same for me. Mom. Yeah, like I never had the nightmares, but I was just like, "I'm a mommy's girl, mom." Mm,
yeah.
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 You're like, "Dad."
No, I would
it's
just
fine. You're allowed to be a daddy's girl.
I would not have been able to choose, and the reason why it was a nightmare for me is because like it was like gonna hurt one of their feelings.
Well,
and
exactly.
It just really bothered me.
Right.
Made me very upset. Yeah.
As a people pleaser, I say mom because like that's what my heart would have wanted to say. But if I was put in that situation as a kid, I probably wouldn't have been able to say that out loud because I knew I would know that it would hurt like the feelings of my other parent.
I would have been able to say it out loud.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so moving on. Cody ends up, he's the oldest of the brothers, and the one who lived in the wealthier neighborhood. Mm-hmm. he moves to Los Angeles, and he is kind of making his name for himself. He's getting out there. He's like Mr. Knows Everybody. He's very gregarious. He starts a record label. He starts wheeling and dealing in investments and like
this is just nepo baby handbook here. It's just like you started a record label and you're working in investments. Like all right,
yeah. And then he like owned homes and things like that. So that's what he was getting himself into, is some real estate. He also was the type of wealthy nepo who ended up in. I don't know if you guys remember the movie Molly's Game.
It sounds familiar, but I didn't ever see it.
Molly's Game is about this poker game that takes place in LA. It's based off of true events. And it's like in these poker games are like the wealthiest of the wealthy and like celebrities. And also too, like the movie was really about like the Russian mafia connections and whatever, like basically big money. And so like people like Leonardo DiCaprio and, you know, big names, big Hollywood names are doing these poker games. And I mean, they're losing. They're talking like all in big money, millions of dollars a night. No big deal.
Couldn't be me. I don't care how much money I have. I could never, like, gambling freaks me out to such a degree.
It's just raised different. You know what I'm saying? Like, was raised different.
I'm not willing to make those kinds of gambles. Just like, I would, the hole that I would fall into, the depression pit, even if I had the money, if I lost $100,000 gambling,
oh, forget it.
Forget it.
100,000, not a million.
Right.
Yeah.
Girl, I lose like $100 in Vegas and I'm pissed. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, same. Couldn't be me. Could not be me. So Cody's already kind of made a name for himself. Blake comes of age and he decides that he wants to kind of follow in his brother's footsteps. He ends up going to LA as well. And, you know, he actually has more of an interest in the film side of Hollywood. He wants to get into, you know, movies and he likes to write. So he dabbles a little in some directing, writing, things like that. A few small projects, nothing to note. He is on IMDb. But like it's projects you would never even have heard of, except for maybe the Spaceballs cartoon. You know, it's like real.
Okay.
Yeah. Like a small film called Bald. It's a whole. Yeah. And nothing we would ever have seen. At any rate, he is like kind of making a name for himself, though, in, you know, just kind of getting his, you know, self out there, trying to like break in as you do. He meets this model, Amanda. And they end up getting married. I mean, she is stunning, beautiful. They fall in love. He's rich. You know, it's probably a dream come true. I mean,
yeah, classic Hollywood nice, story.
Classic Hollywood yeah. story. Beautiful model marries very wealthy man. Mm-hmm. And they end up having a son and have a beautiful home that they give in Beverly Hills. And everything's going, you know, really great, you know, except that when she's about 8 months pregnant with their second child, Blake decides to leave her. He's like, you know what? Actually, I met another girl.
What a cool guy.
Yeah.
What a nice dude. Young man.
Eight months pregnant.
That is so fucked. Like, I've cool never dude. Been pregnant, but the part of why I've never been pregnant is because I fear the havoc that pregnancy wreaks on your body. I can't imagine 8 months, like the discomfort you're in, you know, and even if you've done it before, just like you are gearing up for labor, like that is a scary prospect, and to lose.
And now
your partner,
you're alone.
Right. Yeah. To not have the support of your partner. That is so shitty to do to somebody.
So enter Yana Cassian. Yana has moved to the States from the Ukraine in 2014. She's formerly a tax attorney, so she's got her shit going on. She gave it up to come to the States and to learn and work as a translator in Los Angeles. And in 2015, she met Blake Leibel.
Mm-hmm.
Blake is showering Yana with fancy gifts, trips, cars, you name it, beautiful life, right? And he ends up, like I said, leaving his wife so that they could move in together in a condo in West Hollywood. So they're in a, you know, new place, new life. He's like, goodbye, old life, new life, here I come. And very quickly, after they, you know, get into this relationship, Yana becomes pregnant because...
Uh-huh. That's what happens when you have
he
sex.
He doesn't know how it happens. Yeah, he doesn't know how that happens. He and Yana, Blake and Yana's relationship starts to kind of hit the rocks around the time that the baby is born. Yana's mother comes over, Olga. And this is not even really exactly when it hits the rocks. She has the baby. Everything seems to be going pretty well. Olga, her mother, comes over from the Ukraine and decides that she's going to... Blake puts her up in an apartment nearby and is like, great, you can stay here in this apartment and help us out with the baby. And it is kind of around this time that stuff starts to come to the surface. One of those stuffs being Constant Bukafuri, who has also been dating Blake.
How do you have the time?
I don't know. How do you have the energy? I don't know.
Truly. Truly, truly, truly.
I always think that whenever we hear these stories where they're like, he was married and had seven girlfriends. I'm like, how? Mm-hmm. Like,
because he's independently wealthy and he doesn't necessarily need to have a job.
Right.
So he can kind of just do whatever the fuck he
around.
Wants.
Right. But do you remember that around. Like a few years ago when that all that shit blew up on Facebook and they found that guy who had like 30
girlfriends?
Yeah. And I was just like, you're a normal guy with a job. Like, how are you doing this? How are you keeping it straight? How are you keeping these people a secret from each other? Like, that would be a full-time job.
Is he the guy that was buying all of them the coffee pots?
Oh my god, you remember? Oh my god, that's right. Oh my god, I remember that. Oh no.
Oh jeez.
So Constance Bukafuri Fury is not to be fucked with. She is sick of his shit. She is the girlfriend that he's also paying for her apartment, but she is like the odd girl out. At this point now, he is still married. He's getting divorced, but he's still married. He has a girlfriend that he lives with and a girlfriend in another apartment in town. It's insane. Like, yeah. First of all,
I'm also wondering if he has them in the same neighborhood, because obviously we're familiar with LA or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, BH to WeHo isn't that bad. So I'm just like, is the girlfriend's apartment also in WeHo? Or?
It's like a triangle.
Well, he's paying for it. So I'm sure he was like, these are the parts of town I will buy your apartment in. Like that's that. But that's it. That's the
other
part.
I'm not going all the way to fucking Silver Lake to fuck you, okay?
No, like truly. Well, I'm going to go to the Valley. Have you lost your mind? No, I'm not doing that. But we truly, I do too, but people are snobby. But we really are built different, because not only am I not gambling my money away, I'm not having this many relationships. Like, this is financially irresponsible.
Honestly, the ideal relationship is 0 to 1.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. That is the ideal number. You start juggling more than that, it is getting complicated. Yeah. And I'm paying for your apartment too.
Fuck you.
In this economy?
No, I'm sorry.
The gas prices these days? Shit. Anyway, so let me tell you a little bit about Constance Bucafuri. I don't know a ton about her, but I do know that she's a storyboard artist, and she is pretty successful. She has done a lot of stuff. She worked on Frozen. She worked on movies. You do know. She met Blake at one of his mini haunts. He was somebody who went to Soho House often. You know, all the usual jaunts in LA, mostly WeHo proper. And they ended up, you know, having an affair. He was paying for her apartment. After Yana had the baby, though, she went to the police and was like, actually, he essayed me. Ooh. And I would like to press charges.
Wait, Yana went to the police or Constance?
No, Constance went to the police. So literally 1 month after Yana delivers a baby, she's like a beep, boop, beep, boop, boop. Hello. Mm-hmm. Could you please come bail me out of jail? It's $100,000.
Yikes.
Yeah. So he calls his girlfriend, right? Not his wife. This is his girlfriend.
The baby girlfriend. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yana. And she has a newborn. And now she's getting this phone call.
Yes. Okay. So their happy home has now been completely disrupted because here's what I'll tell you about this story. I'm trying to give you as much context as possible because I will tell you there's really not a satisfaction at the end of this.
Oof.
Okay. Because poor Yana, baby girl, she goes, she gets him from prison. You know, they bail him out. Constance does admit later, he's never prosecuted because she does admit later that she says that she made it up just because she was pissed off and she wanted to get back at him.
That's awful.
Wish she wouldn't. Wish she wouldn't do that because it just delegitimizes.
Really is awful. Absolutely.
You know, because that happens so infrequently. It's really only like 2% or less of sexual assault allegations. So when you do things like that knowingly and you weaponize sexual assault in that way, you're just giving ammunition for it's already hard enough to get those things prosecuted and taken seriously. So stop it. Stop it.
Please stop it. It's awful. It's absolutely, it pisses me off to even say it, but she does apparently come forward and drop charges and says that she had made it up. Now, I don't know if she did or not. I do know that that is the outcome of that.
Okay.
Basically, and then Blake, of course, is like vengeful Lex lover, you know, whatever. But this does cause a bit of a rift with the relationship between Blake and Yana. Mm-hmm. And this is who he's living with. And at this time.
Yes, it would. I imagine it would cause a. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to have a conversation about it.
Yeah. And they did. And then Yana decided that it would probably be best that, now I heard two different stories and it was similar people involved in both interviews. So I'm not 100% sure how it went down. One said that she had moved out to live with her mom, Olga. One said that she moved the baby in with Olga. No matter what, she ended up back at the house. And on May 23rd, that's where she was. And Olga, her mother, was like, you know, she should have returned. I haven't heard from her. She's been trying to call her. She's not getting answers. So Olga and her friend end up going to the condo at Blake's house. And Blake refuses to open the door. So Olga calls the police and she's like, you have to, you know, do something. She doesn't speak English very well. So she has to wait on the line for an interpreter. So during all this time, it's just very, it's very frustrating for the mom because she's like, something's wrong.
Right.
She's trying to explain it and then has to wait through, you know.
Right. She's trying to
get to where she needs to be.
Convey urgency and she's having trouble. Oh, yeah, that would be so frustrating.
The police do go to the house. They do a welfare check. They knock on the door. No one answers. Olga's like, I know that they're in there. I know they are. But there's nothing the police really can do. You know, as much as you can't just break down doors because somebody said something, you know, you just can't. Like, as much as we would love to be like, oh, they should have just broke down the door. They can't. They can't just break down the door of a house that, you know, the mom said this, you know, that's obvious.
Those protections are in place for a reason, because police would definitely, if you were allowed to just go into somebody's house and break down doors and stuff, they'd be doing it. I mean, they're still doing it anyway, but you know, they'd be doing it all the time with reckless abandon. So
absolutely. So they go to the, you know, to the house, they knock on the door, nobody answers. They end up sticking around actually for quite a while. And about an hour and to nothing, you know, nothing happens. They don't hear any, you know, they just stick around to kind of like calm Olga down and nothing really happens. So they leave. But Olga is still trying to reach her daughter. Nothing. So she calls again. She's like, you have to come. She's like, I feel like something bad has happened. You have to come. And police say they go again to the apartment. They said they think they hear somebody inside. So they do break down the door.
Okay.
And upon entering, they go down the hallway and try the first door, but it's barricaded. The doorway to the hallway is barricaded. And when they get past that, they notice like traces of blood, like little traces of blood kind of everywhere. And they follow the blood down the hallway to the main bedroom, which is also blockaded with a mattress. And they, you know, they're trying to be like, they know Blake's in there. Like, they can hear him. They're like, finally, they're like, Blake, you have to come out. What's going on? He's like, I'm not coming out. He finally comes out of his, you know, bedroom, just in boxer shorts. And when they get inside, they see that there's a body on the bed covered in a Mickey Mouse blanket. And here is my second content warning. Because this is literally going to be the worst thing. It's so fucking devastating. Coroner Jim Ribe, from one of the articles I wrote, read, said, quote, I have never seen this before. He had testified in the case. I doubt if any forensic pathologist in this country or abroad has seen anything like this outside of perhaps wartime.
Oh, no.
Police realize as they move closer to the body that the scalp and face have been torn away and are missing. There are bite marks along her jawline and all over her body. The crime reporter described it as if an animal had ravaged the body. But what disturbed the crime scene investigator the most was the lack of blood. So there's no blood on the body. It's just a pale body. Her cause of death is ruled as blunt force trauma, but also exsanguination. The body had been drained of all the blood, shy of 1 to 2 tablespoons.
Oh.
It is believed that during the mutilation of the body, draining that she was alive 68 hours before she died. When they went through the house to investigate and they did like a luminol type investigation, the house, the entire house like lights up. There are blood crime scenes all over the entire house where her body had probably been dragged from one room to the next. There was evidence in the garbage disposal, in the trash cans, and the dumpster. And the evidence suggests that the body was drained from all of its blood, mostly in the bathtub, and probably cleaned before being put back on the bed where it was found. Blake's response when he is taken by the police. I literally almost sent you the picture of him when he's arrested. He's smiling in his photo.
Did he have some kind of psychotic break or something? Like, that is so bizarre.
They tested him and they said that he was able to stand trial because basically the big thing is that when you use that defense, you have to prove that you don't know right from wrong.
Right, right.
That's the main crux of the the weight.
But not only is this so like random, it's also so fucking violent,
over the top,
and over violent.
But that it's just it does make me think it has to be some sort of psychotic episode.
Nothing else to me makes sense, because this is why I said it's an unsatisfying end. Okay. So Blake's response to the police basically is very unnerving. He's like, well, I guess she's dead. You're going to have to find out who did it. Like it wasn't him. he's like, the science would just prove who did it. But Blake also comes out in a boxer short. He's covered in defensive wounds, bite mark on his arm, black eyes. Like, I mean, he has defensive wounds all over his body. Mm-hmm. So he's obviously put up a fight against him. So one of the things though, that people are pointing to, what makes the story so bizarre, is that he had written a graphic novel. Like I said, he's a writer. He'd written a graphic novel, named Syndrome, on, the protagonist of the story, his name is Dr. Chittle, and he studies serial killers. And one of the images on the novel is a scalped baby. So people are like, ooh, did he pre-think about this? Is this stuff that he's already had kind of swimming around in his brain for a while? Inside of the comic book, there's also a body of a woman's body that's been bled out. So some people question whether, you know, he's putting life to this art that he created. Of course, others obviously disagree, saying that just because you're a fan of, you know, graphic novels and or an artist of graphic novels doesn't necessarily make you, a murderer.
Obviously, mm-hmm. It doesn't make you a murderer. But when you write things like that and then a body winds up in your house that's been mutilated, I think that we can put those things together. You know what I mean? Well, it's like, of course, I am a horror fan. I love horror movies. That doesn't mean
that's fine.
I want to act it out. But if all I'm doing, you know, I watched all the Friday the 13th movies over Christmas, that's fine on its own. If you come over here and there's a macheted body in my house, maybe make the connection.
We're going to have questions. Yeah.
Right. We're going to be like, Keegan, can we,
can you come in here and shut the door, please?
Yeah. Hey, come in, little convo.
Can we talk?
I did get a message from somebody who said that was triggering. That they're like, the title on your the title of your last episode was so triggering. It says, "Hey, can we talk?"
I get that. I get that.
Yeah.
He is. Of course, there's so much evidence that proves that it's him. He's convicted of first degree murder. Mayhem, aggravated mayhem, torture, and special circumstances involving torture, murder. He is given life without the possibility of parole. In 2019, the Cassian family was awarded $41.6 million in a wrongful death damages from his estate.
I feel so bad.
We'll see if he gets that money, but
I feel so bad for her mom. Because imagine trying, being like, I know something is wrong.
Yeah.
I know something is wrong. Trying to convey that to police and not being
understood. In a different language.
Right. And then to find out.
I mean, so relatable. I live in a place where I don't speak the language.
Right.
It's difficult.
And it would be so frustrating whenever you know that something's happening and then to find out later that was going on for so long. And like, if we just could have gotten to her sooner, like, you know, but you can't live your life in ifs like that.
I just don't understand like why he did it. This doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't. No. So that's exactly why I said it's unsatisfying, because this is what I want to come back to right now, Christina, which is perfect that you're saying this, because this is exactly the thing. I brought up the graphic novel. I think people are bringing up the graphic novel. I think that people are bringing up all these things, his parents divorcing, all this stuff, to try to just make sense of this, because you're absolutely right. It doesn't make sense. You know, people are like, well, you know, maybe she had decided to leave him because of, you know, this relationship or whatever. And sure, maybe, but the level,
right. It's the level that is shocking. Right. Because I think that very well, he had a very messy relationship life. I think maybe she could have been done. And
sure,
like we've seen it before, like she was hit on the head. There was blunt force trauma that absolutely could have been an act of like him trying to stop her leaving. But then to take it to the degree that he took it is
warning. He ripped her skull off and part of her face off while she was alive. That level.
Right.
And the amount of blood that's, they know that that is the case because of the amount of blood that had, they could tell that that had happened while she was living.
Well, and how dissociated he seemed afterwards to be like, to be so casual about it afterwards. It, and again, I'm not a psychologist that I don't know, but it, to me, I'm just like, that feels like something's really off there. Like something snapped in your brain, you know?
100% I don't see how it could be any other thing. You're I mean, you're so, that's again, but that's what makes this so dissatisfying, because you don't have that like diagnosis, or you don't have this like, you know, I'll tell you that one of the shows I watched was Murder, Famous Murdered by Fame or whatever. And Jim Jeffries, the comedian, very funny comedian. He had actually, this kid had worked on his show that he'd had on FX for a while, but he was like not credited. He was a, he was freelancing basically as an intern. And, but of course he, you know, he'd had multiple conversations with this kid, you know, and he's just like, I can't believe this story isn't as well known as it is, because this is the level, the level of, I mean, he's like, this was maybe a serial killer's first kill type situation. Like this is like Jeffrey Dahmer level mutilation. This is absolutely off the charts.
Well, and if he'd chosen to do this to someone he wasn't connected to and didn't know, I mean, he could have gotten away with it. Like, that's the thing. It's 'cause like they only caught him so quickly because he had a direct connection with this person and her mom was concerned.
It's really scary.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I just, I don't know about the whole like serial killer thing, but it just, so much of it just doesn't make sense. It just makes me think like something snapped in his head. Something just snapped. And that's scary, because like, I mean, you never know what's going to, what switch is going to flip when, and
yeah,
you know, it's just terrible that she had the misfortune of dealing with the consequences, you know.
It's awful.
It's absolutely devastating. And you're right, Christina. I think so many times when we tell these stories, we try to find, just like in these shows and these things, we're trying to find like, oh, what's the thing? What's the thing? There has to be a reason. What's the thing that, you know, triggered this, or, and just doesn't seem like there's a thing, you know?
Yeah.
Well, we just won't know, like, if there was or wasn't, unless he has clarity and is able to speak on it and wants to speak on it. We're not going to know. We're just not going to know.
And honestly, if he does come forward and speak on it, I'm just not fucking interested. I don't actually at this point care what he has to say about any of it. He left three babies behind. You know,
well,
it's
devastating.
I've been rewatching Mindhunter this week. Speaking of like wanting to or not wanting to have conversations with people that commit atrocious acts to try to to a better understanding. God, man, I still so upset. Good. That there's not a season three.
Me too. I really thought that that show was great. Especially the first season was so good.
Oh,
yeah.
So good. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess
Did you watch the BBC show that I told you about?
I haven't.
That's like Mindhunter? Yeah.
I haven't yet. You know, because I've been, as you know, caught in a Vanderpump Rules loop. I hate myself for where I'm at. You know, I'm not proud. I'm not proud of this. I started it because I listened to a daily episode, a New York Times podcast daily episode on Sandoval. And I was like, well, you know, I want to see how this happened. How did we get here? So I started from the first season. It, mm-hmm. Those people are the worst people I've ever seen. And I've watched a lot of reality TV and I'm like, these people are the worst people. But outside of that, I did watch Anatomy of a Fall.
Oh, I love that movie.
Loved
so
it.
Good.
I really loved it. So
Sandra Hüller, I cannot believe she's in two Best Picture noms this year.
Zone of Interest and Anatomy of a Fall. She is fantastic in Anatomy of a Fall. Sandra Hüller, she's a German actress, I believe. And then the kid, I actually like made a comment about this. Like I posted on my Instagram because the kid in Anatomy of a Fall, he's like a, you know, I don't know, maybe 11 to 13. He's young. He was fantastic. And I feel like he should have gotten a lot more praise for his performance in that movie.
The dog was at the Oscars.
He was. And he was such a good boy at the Oscars. Yeah.
I, speaking of child actors, I haven't watched anything new because I'm still on the Grey's Anatomy train. But I watched the trailer for Quiet on Set.
Yep. I've been waiting. They released that trailer like a month ago and I am, it's this
what
weekend.
What are you talking about? Oh, I don't know what you're talking about.
Girl.
It's on Max and it's about Nickelodeon. The kids on Nickelodeon. It's a documentary about them with, what the hell is that guy's name?
He's mentioned a lot in, if you read Jeanette McCurdy's book, I'm Glad My Mom Died. He's referred to just as the creator. She never talks to about him like by name.
By name, necessarily.
But Dan Schneider, I think is his name. Yes.
You're right. It's
and
Dan Schneider.
He like was a creator of a lot of these kid shows. But like things would come out later that like people were so uncomfortable. Like he was very like touchy and weird. And that they like the execs knew about it. Like she writes in the book that by the end of her filming Sam and Cat, he wasn't even allowed to. He was directing the episodes, but he wasn't allowed
from
to be
booth.
In the room with the kids. Yeah, like he had to direct from a booth. So they all knew. And so then once that came out, it came out that like all of these other people who were working on the shows, like dialect coaches, like all of these other people who were working on the shows were also predators like to these kids.
Yep.
Yikes.
Awful. Yeah. Awful. The other trailer I watched, though, is Civil War. And I want to watch that movie.
Oh, it's the A24 movie about like the Civil War, like. That we're getting ready to have kind of thing.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
It's a prequel to our lives.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah. A little too close to home. I did see that trailer, too, and I think I blocked it from my mind immediately.
This,
I was like, nope, can't. I can't.
This election year? I don't think I need that nightmare. It's already bad enough. And we're truly doing this.
I can't understand. And if we need to cut this, we need to cut this. But I mean, like, I was talking to my parents today. And my parents, who probably voted for Trump the first time, are just like still like I think all of us like what the fuck? Haven't we done this already?
We did.
Didn't we do
we
this
did
before?
This already.
Why are we doing this again?
I none of us want to do this.
What
I don't know. We don't want to be here.
No one does. No one wants this. Why are we here? How did we get here?
I've literally spoken to not one person who's like, I'm happy with this situation that we're
not
in.
One.
No.
How?
Honestly, truly think that we are in a Sims game and are the person playing us.
They're trying to kill us at this point.
Awful.
They've put us in the pool. They put us in the pool and they took away the ladder. Like that's what they've done. And they're just waiting for us to just run out of energy. That's what's happening.
So please register to vote.
Yeah.
Get involved in what's happening locally because man, does it matter who you're voting in
now
locally?
More than ever.
It really does. And I know that people are focused on the big election because I mean, that's a shit show in itself. But just please register. Please, if we have enough reasonable people actually mail in a vote, then maybe we can get out of the pool. But I don't know. That's all I'll say about that.
Well, if you guys want to stay with me in Germany.
We just
listen.
Might.
Yep. Look, we could buy a house out there.
My parents were like, my poor dad, he was like, If I was any younger, he's like, I would do the same thing you're doing. He goes, I think about it all the time. Like, what are we doing here? He's like, I need to get out of this place. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, my dad.
Yeah.
My dad.
Yeah.
That's not. Yeah.
Natalie Portman, call me. I'll come live in your house, in your house in Paris.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Wow. Well, if you guys have any expat suggestions, if you have terrible date stories, if you just want to reach out and say hello and give us a hug, go to our one-stop shop of website. It's myworstdatepodcast.com. And we love you so much.
Cheers.
Catch you on the flip-flop.